Welcome to Coffee and Cleavage.
Welcome, everybody.
We are super excited. We have a special guest today.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Hello!
Business owner, co-host of the podcast, Woof, We're Our Only Fans, DJ, and adult content creator, Adelia.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here. I feel like I'm not repping Coffee and Cleavage that much because I'm having matcha, but we're all caffeinated here.
That's all right.
I got the cleavage out.
Oh, yes.
Yes. The most important part.
Fake titty gang gang.
Yes. Well, thank you again for being here. We're super excited to have you.
Yeah.
You are popping our interview cherry.
You're our first.
One of many I've taken this week.
Yeah, tell us about that. You've had like a wild last weekend, couple days.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I've had a wild past week, actually. I took a lot of shroom cherries yesterday, or was it yesterday? No, 2 days ago on Sunday. I just got a lot of shrooms overnighted because I'm like, these are like very natural and like they're better than alcohol. So just gave them out to everyone. I guess one of my cherries was popped. I just had my first like girl orgy.
Oh,
wow. Yes. Tell more.
Yes. This is juicy.
So one of my friends, Patty, who's part of like the same agency as I am, she loves orgies, gangbangs, etc. And was like, I just want to educate everyone and like take, she wanted to take a lot of cherries. And I'm like, an orgy? That sounds fun. Because I just found out I'm bi from like doing a lot of content with girls because I'm like, more turned on by some girls, and I've been hooking up with a lot of guys. So this is something new that I'm just discovering. So when I was in the orgy, I was like just so overwhelmed by everything happening. Like I had a dildo going in me. I was trying to like use a vibrator on someone. It was just so overwhelming. But I found out I'm a little submissive because I'm like, I was kind of going towards the dom girls being like, choke me.
I feel like that's how I would be.
I know that's how Lydia would be.
Yeah.
Oh God, that is amazing. So for those who don't know, mushroom cherry popping, clearly you mean taking girls' virginities while on mushrooms.
Oh, I mean, actually, it was, I just gave them mushrooms for the first time.
Gotcha. I'm like, are any of these like newbies?
Like newbies,
like to like gangbangs or orgies or.
So actually, there were a lot of girls that were very new to like girl on girl content. So they kind of hung out on the floor and were just like making out with each other. And then the girls that were like a lot more confident in doing more were all on the bed. So I was like, I'm gonna go full in this because I just wanted to experience it. Like if there was even one guy in it, I wouldn't have done it. But just because it was all girls, I felt like it was a safe space. And like, I just really wanted to do it. But yeah, there were a lot of girls just on the floor not feeling like comfortable yet. Or there were like some girls who were bi too, but haven't like experimented with girls yet. So they didn't want to do it for the first time on camera.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I feel like I would be the girl on the floor.
Yeah, just maybe. Watch and learn.
Yeah, like peeping while making out. Like, can you make out with your eyes open so you can watch what's going on?
It was so funny because I just remember while I was like getting fucked with a dildo, I like started smelling coconut oil and I didn't know what was happening because there was just so much going on. And then like on Sunday when I gave everyone shrooms, my friend showed me the video where she was just pouring coconut oil. She's like, you don't remember. Remember that? And I'm like, no. And I was sober. And I was like, I don't remember.
Wait, you were sober and everyone else was on mushrooms?
Oh, so these were like two separate. Oh, there gotcha. Was a lot of things happening this week. So the mushrooms happened on Sunday. The orgy happened on Wednesday.
Okay, wow. Okay. So were most people sober during the orgy?
No.
Okay.
It happened way past my bedtime. I was ready to go to sleep at 8 or 9, and I was, like, trying to get everyone up and going, and these girls were just taking shots because they were like, I can't do an orgy sober. And I'm like, well, I am. So everyone was pretty fucked up, like, just getting really drunk.
Well, wow. That sounds fucking wild.
Yeah, it does. I feel like, I don't know, I have such a one-track mind. That would be so much going on. What was it? Was it like that for you? Or was it, like, actually enjoyable? Or I have so many questions.
It was actually, like, pretty enjoyable, but there was a lot going on. And I kept wondering, like, who to make out with and, like, who to go to because there were, like, six girls on the bed. So I was just like, oh, what do I do? It was a little overwhelming because there were just, like, two girls that were such doms and just, like, taking over the whole thing. So, and me and this girl, Patty, we're just, like, kind of sitting there being like, who's ready?
Oh, I'm ready next. I think that personally for me, I would be super overwhelmed by that.
Yeah.
I mean, I see how it can be hot, and I absolutely see how being under the influence of something could, like, lower your inhibition so that you can relax and have fun.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think I could do that sober.
No.
Not the first time, at least.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm surprised I did, but sometimes when I'm, like, caffeinated, I get this God complex. So I'm like, I can do this. You know, it's like not a drug, but it also like makes me so stimulated. I'm like, I can do anything.
Yes.
I definitely call caffeine my drug of choice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't know. I feel like it's a drug. It definitely alters your state of mind.
It does, for sure. Yeah. 1,000%. Like you can overdo it. You can get withdrawals. I had to get like an IV once because I was just taking too many Celsiuses.
Oh, damn.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. That's
when
crazy.
I started switching to like the soft stuff, like matcha and green tea.
The healthy way of life.
Yeah. Yes. Way healthier. Like I still get the shits, but you know, I don't get the come down.
We love it.
Yeah.
So backing up for a minute, when did you first start doing girl on girl content? And was the content your first experience?
So I started doing girl on girl in, I believe it was January, like more hardcore girl on girl. I did some like makeout videos that were very like PG-13 that could be in like Scary Movie 2 or something like that. But I would say January is when I first started doing like hardcore girl on girl. But it wasn't my first time experimenting. There was one time when I was like a senior in college that I was at a strip club and like the stripper was asking me if I like was bi, if I'd ever like thought about it. And I'm like, I have never really known what I was because I'm like so attracted to some girls. But then I just thought I was like bi curious. And then we were hooking up and I was like, yes. But and I actually tried to hang out with her after that. But I moved like 2 weeks later to Arizona. So it just didn't really work out. So then when I convinced one of my friends since I was like 14 to create an OnlyFans, she was the first girl I did like more hardcore girl on girl with because we're just so comfortable and we like grew up together. And then I started getting like more and more into it because like basically having an agency just allows me to collab with other girls in the agency and they can hook me up with people who are comfortable doing the same things as me. And I just like wanted to keep going deeper and deeper to see like how far I can go.
We love it. How far can I go?
Yes.
Well, so at first, I mean, I think everyone kind of goes through this. I'm like, I'm not even going to show nipples. And then it just started like progressively getting more and more. I think the more comfortable I started getting with my sexuality and the camera being there almost makes me more comfortable because I'm like, oh, I do look sexy in that angle.
Hell yes.
Yes.
And before yes. I think I was just more nervous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
And taking, like, you take a lot of your own content as well, right?
I take pretty much all of it. I think my subs personally, like, you know, just iPhone, handheld kind of stuff. So it makes it feel more personal to them, which is a little more personal versus having, like, a photographer there. Usually I have photographers for, like, Instagram pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And maybe, like, some nudies for Twitter, which I see a lot of nudes on Twitter,
and I don't know
why I didn't start utilizing it sooner.
Mm-hmm. So is posting nudes on Twitter, like, a really good way to boost your engagement? Because I notice a ton of nudes, male and female OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is something I'm still figuring out. I just started using my Twitter after I got my most recent Instagram deleted, which is in the process of coming back. So, some of my posts get a lot of likes, some of them don't. I don't know. I haven't tried posting like a nude yet. I was going to wait till my Instagram comes back so I can like promote it because, you know,
yeah,
I like boost my ego a little bit.
Yeah.
They both are all a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
like it's a little bit unhealthy, but
yeah.
It's definitely it's reality. When like the first time I got my Instagram deleted, defeated. Second time I was like, okay, whatever. This time I'm just like, what, you know? Shit happens.
Fourth fucking Instagram.
This is my fourth Instagram. So this time I'm like, at least I know it's going to come back. So like my ego isn't like too hurt. I feel like I've adjusted a lot. So I don't look to Instagram for validation. But still, if I'm getting a lot of likes on a photo, it's still, I feel good. But mm-hmm. if I don't feel hurt.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's healthy. But also it's hurting your business too. Like that's the frustrating part. And I've seen your Instagram before it was taken down. There was nothing on it. They should have gotten it deleted. Nothing. You're not posting nudes. Like, fuck, I feel like I see porn sometimes on Instagram.
I do.
I get tagged in it. Do you get tagged in porn?
Yes, I do all the time. It's like, what the
hell? It's funny because I had no violations, so I'm a little confused as to why I got it deleted. I did forget my password, so I'm not entirely sure why. I'm just paying to get it back. However, like, I got one of my backup account, I got it deleted for, like, impersonating myself. And I'm like, what? I submitted a photo of my ID, and they were like, we can't verify it's you. And I'm like, what do you mean? This was my ID, and that's a photo of me. How can you not verify?
That's
seriously confusing. Yeah. Unless you had another account. Do you have two Instagram accounts?
It was my backup. So my main one didn't get deleted at the time. So that's why I was like, all right, I'm okay with that one getting deleted. And then I got my main one deleted and I'm like, well, fuck a duck. Like, I just can't win here.
Honestly, I feel like with social media censorship, like none of us can really win.
No.
You know, I haven't had my account deleted actually, but I've had so many things, my posts deleted, my stories taken down, mm-hmm. soliciting sex, and I'm like, I'm not selling sex. I actually am not.
That's fucking why shadow banned. It's like, mm-hmm. it's shitty. That's why, you know, it's nice to have a platform where we don't have to worry about that.
Shout out fucking OnlyFans.
Yes.
Yes. On the box.
Oh my God, that sounds like it could be a commercial.
It's just crazy because like TikTok and Instagram don't really care about their, they don't care about their creators. Like, they really don't. And I keep hearing about like people who work at Instagram deleting accounts on purpose so that they get paid to get accounts back. And it's becoming like an kind of like a black market thing for Instagram. And it's really fucked. And then like TikTok as well, they just keep deleting like so many things I post. And I'm like, I see people like in bikinis. I've never been able to post in a bikini. I see Lizzo's butt and she can twerk, and then like I see like men's dick imprints, and I've never seen a dick imprint deleted like through their boxers.
Yeah,
it's fucked. Yeah, you have tits and you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I've given up on TikTok. I got deleted twice. I'm like, fuck TikTok.
You know? Yeah, I got deleted once and I was just like, whatever.
Yeah,
it's hard because I ended up making a backup account, and the backup account just doesn't get the traction that my normal account does. And then like, does TikTok just want me to post in a hoodie? I mean, yeah, but like, I don't want to.
But I see girls in bikinis. It's just girls that have smaller boobs or that have thin bodies. I definitely noticed that. Like, thin people like are not getting removed.
Also, TikTok changes the rules for people who are verified. So if you're verified, the rules kind of change for you. Or if you're actually famous, you're able to post more than everyone else is.
And it's the same for Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I see like huge accounts and I'm like, how do they get away with posting like pictures where they're just covering their nipples with one finger? Like, and what the fuck?
I had a photo before I even blew up on Instagram. This is probably when I had like 40,000 followers. I thought this was genius, like comedy and slutty. I put apples over my tits and I was like, how about them apples? And
they deleted it. Aww.
For nudity. And I'm like, I used to wear like pasties are fine, but apples over my boobs aren't. Yeah. Like I literally saw this one girl who posted and she was like shirtless in New York and just literally had apple emojis over her boobs. And I'm like, why did mine get deleted?
Okay?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
She had like 100,000 likes or something on that photo. I was like, Instagram really do be targeting some people.
Yeah. They do scan for certain things. And I feel like boobs are definitely one of them. Mm-hmm. The bigger your boobs are.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm trying to get them bigger, so Instagram, watch out. I have to be able to, like, posting less.
Hell yes. Or you have to, like, get the side down. For some reason, if I post photos, like, by myself, if I'm turned, like, to an angle, to a side where I'm not straight at the camera, I'll actually get more engagement. But if I'm facing forward, I'll get way less engagement. Sometimes I'm like, is this fucking throttled?
How interesting. So on my backup Instagram, my ass photos used to get the best engagement. But on my new one, it's like my tit photos and like my pasty photos get the most engagement. And it's just so confusing because don't I have a lot of the same followers? I think it's just like Instagram's algorithm.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think so too.
It's absolutely crazy.
It is. So you started your OnlyFans in October of 2020, and you've already gained hundreds of thousands of followers, which is fucking amazing, girl.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thank
and
you.
You're in the 0.2%.
Mm-hmm.
Point zero two.
Yeah. The fucking tiny percent.
Fucking amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm fucking stoked. I started like the last week of October, and I honestly credit my old podcast a lot to the growth and just having OnlyFans want to like work with us, and you know, they're gonna help me with my new one. So I'm just really excited to like keep growing because it's given me the opportunity to, you know, pay for like Instagram shout outs and grow on other social medias as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, to expand your business.
Exactly. Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about what your new podcast is gonna be about?
Yeah, so it's called That's Offensive, capital OF.
I love it.
So it's basically going to be very similar to the last one. It's just going to be me, though. I'm talking about sex work, but I'm really trying to dig deeper in this one. So some of the girls I've already interviewed, we talk about like their childhood, their trauma, how they got to where they are. I had one girl cry.
Oh.
You know, it wasn't on purpose, but it's getting a lot deeper and just like pushing the limits a little bit more to like, I think that sex work is something that people just look at and there is that stigma that we're sluts, we're whores, etc. So I want to be asking about like their childhoods, like what they like, dislike, and you know, there's other things that people think are offensive that I do as well, like DJing and my music taste. So it's gonna expand a little bit more instead of just OnlyFans, but you know, still pretty much OnlyFans focused.
Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome. That sounds really interesting. I love the dig deep and pulling out people's traumas because people don't realize how much your childhood and like your young adult life like really shape the rest of your life and can kind of stick around for a long time.
It really does. Like the interviews go so much differently with the girls who have like good relationships with their parents versus, you know, the girls who their parents like don't approve of what they're doing. And a lot of the girls that like, their parents don't approve of what they're doing. It started like very young when their parents were kind of like sexualizing them for what they wore, being like, well, you can't wear that. You need to wear like hoodies, sweatpants, etc. So it kind of just carries on to like what you do now and just being like sexually liberated now.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah. Sexual liberation.
Absolutely. So when you started in October, what were you doing before that, or what led you up to wanting to start an OnlyFans?
I had corporate jobs before I started an OnlyFans, and both of them were just horrible. And it's so funny because I always thought I'd be so good at sales because I feel like I'm just unapologetically myself all the time. But being unapologetically myself, it was hard for me to sell stuff that I thought was shit. So I worked at a logistics company where it's like literally going into a business, I already knew we were probably going to be more expensive. I like the only thing that we had going for us was service. But like, I mean, when you're like shipping in bulk, price is just going to be more important than service pretty much any day. So it was just a very toxic work environment, and I had already started growing my Instagram in college, and then my dad made me delete that one, so I had to start over. And I just think when I was in college, people kept trying to tell me that like how to be a good employee versus how to be my own boss. So finally, I was just getting like really over my old job. I was like throwing up a lot. That's how I found out I have IBS, actually, because I was like stressed throwing up every day. And I just took some acid at a concert and I was like, I'm making an OnlyFans, like made that snap decision. Like the next week I started like putting everything together to like make an OnlyFans. And I made like that big announcement, made my month's worth of salary in 24 hours. So I quit.
Damn.
The next, yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, my first like month or two, it was like a little hard figuring everything out, going through bad management, figuring out what worked, didn't work, etc. But I mean, what I love about OnlyFans is that like the brand is me and I believe in me. And like before that, I was having to sell what everyone else wanted me to sell and it was shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. Honestly, I feel like that's how a lot of us who are, we're already in this space, but before OnlyFans, like we're in social media mm-hmm. and influencing and you're selling everybody else's shit.
Yes.
Yes. And you're not making that much on it.
Yeah. No.
So then to be able to like reclaim yourself as your own brand and mm-hmm. just do whatever the fuck you want to and make money at it, it's very liberating.
Mm-hmm. It's very liberating. And I think coming from like a very conservative family myself, I think I like suppressed a lot of my sexuality growing up and like OnlyFans like definitely helped me reclaim that sexuality. And I think I used to act out by like hooking up with a lot of guys and then like OnlyFans kind of helped me assert myself, like not really have sex anymore and like just find that confidence within myself instead of other people.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is.
I feel like just watching like from the beginning of your podcast to like you right now, just mm-hmm. in like the last like what year, like less than a year.
I think it's been like 8-9 months, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, it's like just the amount that I feel like that you've grown in that part, just yeah. just from an outside view, you know, without even knowing you personally.
Yeah.
It's like, it's amazing.
Thank you. Aww. Yeah.
So one thing that we noticed that you mentioned is that like whenever you go into conversation with new people, you try to bring up OnlyFans. Seriously, that's so fucking awesome. And I feel like that's something that I personally need to get better about because a lot of times people will like just randomly say stuff that to like shit on OnlyFans and you're just like, uh-huh. Especially if it's like family or friend or like you said, like somebody with like a religious background who has like uh-huh. a really strong opinion about what it is that OnlyFans represents or what you're doing on OnlyFans.
Yeah.
You know,
I definitely separated myself from a lot of people who would be on the more judgmental side. I'd say a lot of people in Arizona, for example, since it is more of a conservative state, like when I first made my – actually, they still shit on me. Who am I kidding? but it was just a lot of, like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, you could be ruining your life. Like, I just want to make sure you're good. And it was a lot of people – like, that's kind of what postponed me from doing it for so long because I had people reaching out to me in, like, February of 2020 before the pandemic even started about OnlyFans. And when I would mention it, it was just always like, I have no respect for OnlyFans girls. OnlyFans girls are sluts. And then I noticed I was kind of saying that same thing. And it was a projection of what I kept hearing. And something I really like about like shrooms and acid is it makes you think for yourself versus what other people have you think about. So when you reflect on the things like on things like that, on shrooms or acid, you're able to really decipher like what you're comfortable with versus what everyone else is comfortable with. So after I moved from Arizona, and don't get me wrong, a lot of people from Arizona think what I'm doing is awesome. But like the people I went to college with, like I know they're sending my content in group chats and like shitting on me. And I've been told this multiple times. And now that I live in San Diego and LA, it's like a lot more normal and people think what I'm doing is sick. And I just tell everyone what I'm doing. And it's like, if they give me any attitude, I'm like, well, how much you making, homeboy?
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, don't hate because, you know, if everyone could do it, they would.
Honestly,
I mean, why wouldn't they?
Right? As soon as people hear dollars,
yeah.
their entire, like, yeah. position changes. Like, I remember I was at an event and a girl came up to me and she was, like, talking about her work and she was in finance and she was, you know, mentioning something about OnlyFans. And people mm-hmm. started shitting on OnlyFans and girls, you know, saying yeah. like that, you know, they would never do that. And she's like, oh God, I could never do that. Mm-hmm. I just, I couldn't be that low. I couldn't go that low. And I said, you know, and I didn't even say it about myself yet. And maybe this was like a little bit of a defense mechanism, but I was like, yeah, I have a couple friends that make, you know, $300,000-$400,000 a month. And her mouth just fucking drops.
Yeah.
And she, like, completely changed her attitude. And within 5 minutes, she's like, oh, I could actually probably do that.
Yeah.
You
know, and it's just funny.
Uh-huh. Definitely. Well, I also think I interviewed someone, and I'm not an expert, but there's internalized misogyny within a lot of women that they just don't recognize within themselves yet. So when a lot of women shit on people with OnlyFans, it's kind of like they're suppressing a part of their sexuality and projecting that on us. And then with guys, it's just normal misogyny when they're like, women are reclaiming their power. Well, fuck that, because I'm this big masculine man. I can't have a woman make more money than me for something that I pay for.
Exactly. So when you bring it up in conversation, like, what do you have, like, a goal of what you try to talk about, or you just talk about what you do and see how they respond?
It kind of depends. It really depends on the person and what the setting is. Like, if I'm, like, out dancing or something like that, I'll casually mention I have an OnlyFans, but, like, my objective there is to dance.
yeah, that makes sense.
Or, like, I'll have someone, like, follow me on Instagram or something like that. It really does depend on the setting. But, like, for example, in San Diego, when I go to parties where it's, like, a lot of talking or I'm meeting new people, I'll, like, go into depth about, like, my podcast, like, what I do. And most people think it's really cool. I've only had a few people being like, well, aren't you scared for the future? And I'm like, well, not really. And I just try to, like, talk about it extremely openly. Because, like, someone can be judging me, but it doesn't change the fact that, like, I'm happy with what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I honestly couldn't agree more.
I know. Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's not going to change how you feel at the end of the day. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And, I mean, people, this is kind of a weird way to feel about it too, but, like, when people do shit on me for what I do, it almost makes me feel, like, powerful. Because I'm like, I'm literally just out here doing what I love, being myself, and I'm triggering someone, and I'm not even talking about them. So it just makes me feel like I'm doing something right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yep. I think that it takes – I'm just mind blown that people have, like, so much time, you know, in their life that they can just shit on you or think about what you're doing wrong instead of what they're doing.
Exactly. And I think a lot of that, too, has to do with, like, how – you were raised, how your parents were raised, etc. And kind of what a lot of people say stems from their parents and stems from their grandparents, and it just trickles down. And a lot of people don't take the time to unlearn what, you know, the offensive things that, like, your parents might say or whoever you grew up with might say. So it's just a matter of, like, educating yourself and seeing what the real issue is.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That is so true.
It is.
unlearn toxic behaviors. Go to therapy, everybody.
Yeah. Well, what I've noticed is really funny, because I think I've mentioned, like, I don't fuck a lot of guys. I used to, like, for a year in college, it was not the best, like, you know, frat boy suck in bed. So I stopped. But it's funny because a lot of the girls who were telling me, like, oh my God, do not make an OnlyFans. Like, you don't want that reputation. I, like, see them fucking new guys, like, every weekend and have, like, multiple guys they're hooking up with. And in my head, like, there's no shade in, like, anything anybody is doing, but it's just like, you know, why are you shading what I'm doing when you're doing kind of something similar, just in a, you know, not as public space?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah. Like, I say, be a hoe if you want to be a hoe, be celibate if you want to be celibate. But, like, you know, just don't, like, judge what other people are doing.
Yeah.
Because you can unfollow me. Like, you don't have to subscribe to my OnlyFans. Like, how is this offending you?
Yeah, that's very true. First of all, why are they following your OnlyFans if they don't like what you're doing?
Yes.
That's what I'm blown away with. But, I mean, we get that. Like, I'm sure you get hate on your previous podcast as well. We do, too.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Like, people just shitting on us. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You have a lot of spare time to be able to fucking shit on us.
Yeah.
In our comments section.
Yes.
They really do. I'd say TikTok is the place I get, like, shit on the most. Instagram, somewhat. But it's really funny because a lot of people shit on me for my voice. So then I'll, like, try different accents on my podcast and then they hate them more. But I just think it's hilarious.
I love your voice. I think you have a fucking awesome voice.
Yeah, it's very unique.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, people have a problem with everything. They're like, your nose is this, your boobs are that. You're not showing your cleavage enough. Like, we get that a lot. They're like, wait, I thought your podcast is called Coffee and Cleavage.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
Your cleavage.
Let me just wear pasties really quick.
I'm sure they would love that.
A let me just take my shirt off.
So on the subject of a little bit of sex, I feel like this interview wouldn't be complete with a little Q&A.
Oh, yes.
A little sexy talk. Mm-hmm. So juicy. We discovered that you have a signature sex move. Honestly, the premise of this is fucking awesome. Can you share with the audience what that is?
Yes. So... I listen to dubstep, just to, like, preface this. I listen to, like, that hardcore headbanger shit. And that, I think, one, sets the pace for having sex, but two, just makes me hornier and wetter. So this happens, actually not the last guy I had sex with, but granted, it was just a little awkward for me because he kept wanting to, like, go slow because he's like, I'm gonna come. Anyways, didn't do it with him because I'm like, well... I'm just turned off now. Like, let's go to bed. but my signature sex move is I'm on top of them, riding them, and I kind of, like, headbang to the music, and I'll dance and do, like, my little dinosaur arms. So so for people, like, visualizing, it's, like, I'm headbanging but also, like, throwing kind of, like, punches in the air, but it's kind of, like, I don't know. It's the dubstep dance moves. And, you know, I will say guys definitely don't get turned on by it, but, like, they think I'm funny.
I love that.
I love it.
I've had so many guys be like, do we, like, need to listen to this? And I'm like, excuse me. You get my vagina and you're complaining here? Like, I can't glug glug 9000, but, like, I can headbang on your dick. And a lot of people got confused because they thought when I said headbang on their dick, it was, like, while I was giving them head, I'd headbang. Like, no, that'd be difficult, and I don't really like giving head unless I'm, like, really turned on by the guy. I've noticed if they make me come, I try going really hard when I give head, although I'm still not amazing. I try. I'm way better eating girls out.
Oh my God. You just answered like my next two questions. Yes. I love it.
I know.
I just keep going. You don't stop me.
What is something someone can do that puts you over the top?
Like where I'm just like, oh my God, yeah. Like it's so good.
Yeah.
A guy who's really aggressive with me. Like, I kind of like to leave with bruises. And I know a lot of guys are scared to bruise me because they're like, I don't want her to go to the police. Like, but I get really turned on by, like, getting slapped around, like, told what to do. Like, I mean, honestly, like, the two guys ago that I hooked up with, I mean, he ended up being a little bit of a fuckboy. But... like, he was great in bed. Like, I was so digmatized that I looked past his, like, kind of boring personality.
I like that.
I was just, like, mind blown. Like, I told him I always use my vibrator to make me come. So he just, like, whipped it out, was, like, so confident in everything he did, was, like, telling me what to do, was just, like, trying it all, was, like, slamming me against my bed. And I'm like, yes! It was great.
Oh, my God. This sounds fucking amazing.
It does. Damn.
It was. Honestly, and then this last guy I hooked up with was just like, how are you doing, darling? And I'm like, please, I just...
What?
It's really sad.
How are you doing, darling?
it's really sad because I really thought I was going to like this guy. And then just like... he was, like, so gentle with me. I couldn't, like, just so nice and so... And I really wish I liked him. I really do. I just ended things yesterday.
Oh.
Damn. You know what? But it definitely sounds like you're a submissive. Like, you like to be dominated.
I like to be dominated. And I like, if someone is just, like, super nice to me at all times, I almost think it's, like, less genuine than, like, when you shit on me. Like, I think most of my friends, like, shit on me constantly, but in, like, a very, like, loving way. So it's, like, if you call me a cunt, I'm like, yes, we're besties. But if you're, like, hi, love, it just seems like, okay, you know, it's insincere.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I hear what you're saying.
I just can't believe he asked how you were, like, in the middle of sex. Like,
oh my
was
God.
This, like, the beginning or middle?
And then he was afterwards, he's like, at least I know we're compatible. And in my head, I'm like, that was a bit like, I had just hooked up with a girl 2 weeks ago who I was thinking about while I was fucking. And like, you know, some girls would like love his style. Like some girls would love it, but just not me. Like, I think he's going to be just perfect for someone else. But, you know, I need that aggression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. I'm not really into the whole, like, let's have a conversation in the middle of having sex. That would totally turn me off.
Yeah.
No, and that. Just, like, he's like, I know you like it fast, but let's just take it, like, slow and sensual. And in my, like, I don't like having slow sex. Like, it hits my G-spot when it's like, boom, boom, bunny rabbit. Like, and when it's, like, slow, it's just, it doesn't really do a whole lot for me. Like, I get it if they're tired, but it was just the beginning.
It's just the beginning.
It's your fucking stamina.
He's like, I'm about to come.
You're like, oh, God, okay.
Yeah, so I just wanted to. Yeah, and then I was, like, really thinking, like, guys can be taught to have sex, and then I pee a lot in the middle of the night, and he was, like, he asked, like, are you okay? Because I kept going, and I told him before, like, we went to sleep, like, that I pee a lot, and he's, like, are you doing okay? And then gave me this big old hug, and I'm, like, why is this, like, yes, I'm fine. You know?
Yeah. He had a little too much feminine energy, mm-hmm. I think, for you. And you're looking for that, like, even in a female, you can have, like, a very present, like, male energy.
Yeah, you know, that is it.
What was your first experience like when you, with a woman?
My first experience, I was fucked up. I was, like, very, very turned on. It was like the stripper, and she was, like, fingering me in the club and was just, like, I was so turned on, and I was, like, making out with her, but I just remember kind of being, like, frozen. Like, I didn't know what to do because it's, like, this is something I wanted, like, so badly. And then she's, like, I'll call you when I'm off. And then little does she know, my bedtime's early. So she's trying to call me at, like, 5 a.m. Oh, and God. I'm knocked out. So we just, like, never really met up again. But then I just never really knew if I was, like, bi-curious, bisexual. And it's, like, you know, I know some people try to, like, gatekeep your sexuality. And it's, like, now I used to think I could never date a woman, but I could hook up with a woman. But now I'm thinking, like, there is a possibility I could date a woman. I have just never found a woman that, you know, I would.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yet.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I like the yet.
Yeah. I always thought, like, oh, my God, I'd miss their dick. But, like, they're strap-ons. Yeah. They can, like, eat me out better than guys can. Like, something about, like, a woman tongue versus a guy tongue. Like, it's just they know what they're doing so much better. Like, they can find the clit.
They know where it fucking is. I think that we actually just talked about this recently. Like, girl-on-girl relationships just have better sex.
And if I felt like it was so much more intimate. Like, this girl I hooked up with a few weeks ago. And, like, granted, we did it for content. But it's, like, I was so excited to see her on this past content trip because I've been thinking about that tongue. And then she got COVID.
Oh, no.
And I was literally thinking about her for weeks. I'm like, I am ready to lay there. Yeah, so next time. she was great. But she's actually, like, teaching people how to have better sex, like, coming out with a course and everything like that. And so she knows. She knows what she's doing.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah. That's some really fucking, like, mutually beneficial content.
Oh, my God. And part of the, I already masturbate a lot. So part of my, like, reasoning for showing my vagine was, like, I already do this. I already am, like, masturbating this much. And then I don't have to get creative with trying to get people to open. It's just all there. So it's, like, that was just my reasoning with starting that.
Well, it sounds like it's fucking working out really well.
It really is.
So, taking it back to, like, the business side for a second, like, mm-hmm. your DJ page.
Yeah.
How do you, like, you're really getting to show, like, a lot of different, like, versions of yourself.
Uh-huh.
How is that going?
It's actually going really well. I've honestly gotten a lot better at DJing than I was. It used to be, like, I would honestly hate practicing DJing because I knew I wasn't good, and I'm, like, a perfectionist. So it was really hard for me when I first started because a lot of people were like, you suck. And I'm like, you don't think I know that? But now that I'm getting, like, more comfortable and confident and stuff like that, I'm really excited. I'm starting to take producing lessons. so that I can actually start making my own music and getting a career going in that as well. So that's just something that's so cool about OnlyFans is that I really do have all these different sides of myself that people are able to like see and connect with. And like, they really get to see how vulnerable I can be, because it's like, I mean, I think it took a lot of balls on my end. And at first it was kind of heart shattering, but just like showing you being bad at first, but being like, well, this is just my journey. So you can show like how far you've come.
Yeah, that's really fucking awesome.
Yeah,
like it is just so amazing, like how you can literally have, you know, you have podcasts, you have your personal page, you have your DJ page, and you're fucking just like putting yourself out there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think you can be like extremely successful being like a content creator if you don't show like a lot of different sides of yourself, or if you're not like vulnerable or like yourself in a lot of aspects.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
And I feel like every like platform or everything kind of gives you an opportunity to kind of show a different side of yourself. Like you probably don't post the same shit on Instagram, you know, as you do on Snapchat and as you do on your fucking DJ page. And
oh, yeah, definitely. I feel like my Snapchat is just like me fucked up mostly. I don't remember to post otherwise.
You like only think about posting while you're fucked up.
Yeah. I'm like, look at how much fun I'm having. My pupils are so big, because you know your pupils get big when you do shrooms. And then like on TikTok, I feel like I show a lot of different sides of myself. I feel like I joke about being a whore a lot, because like that gets views, baby. But also like I'm on depression TikTok. I'm on like EDM TikTok. So I like get to post a lot of different things. I think my Instagram is a little more centered towards like slutty photos and then like a lot of rave content. Like I like to show myself at like concerts, and then like my OnlyFans is honestly like where I look the ugliest. Because I don't like edit my OnlyFans photos. It's just like the most raw.
It's like version. Authentic. Yeah. It's authentic. Mm-hmm. And it's not ugly. Come on.
No, it's not.
I feel like maybe not ugly, but it's just not edited.
It's like the least polished version of you. Yeah. But honestly, that's what people want on OnlyFans. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like they want the real you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's way more personal than your polished Instagram photos.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, even some of my Instagram photos got more likes when they were like my self timer photos. And I'm like, well, that's confusing, because I thought this was going to get the least.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I think that's what people do like about OnlyFans, is like they can see your, like, you know, your stomach rolls, your cellulite. It's not this like fake version.
You're
of
a
you.
Real person. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
But I do know some girls who even edit their videos. I'm like, oh, the effort there.
Yeah.
I'm on that lazy girl routine.
Lazy girl and fucking killing it.
Yeah, yeah, you're fucking killing it. So keep doing you're doing. You know? But, you know, we really appreciate you for coming on our podcast and for popping our interview cherry.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
So
I know. We can't, like, cheers across the table.
I can, like, put it up and, like, I'm trying to, like, telepathically.
Yes. But everyone, be sure to go check out your podcast. It's going – the launch of it. That's so exciting.
Yes. It's launching Offensive. Soon. Mm-hmm. So that's Offensive, capital OF, ha ha ha, OnlyFans, if you didn't get that. you can find all of my links on It's Deals, DEELZ.com, because I have a lot of different usernames and it'd be very confusing for me to go through all of them.
We'll put the link below for you guys to follow her and subscribe to her OnlyFans page.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yes. Awesome.
Subscribe. Cheers.
Cheers.